You're listening to me, your lovable host, Elrod, here on The Rod Eccles Show.
You want to know what time it is? It's time to bring the rain.
Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
I, your lovable host, Elrod, coming to you live from the Bunker Eye Studio, located somewhere within the great grand estate of New Hampshire. Yes, we're back in the Bunker Eye Studio. Things have been patched and repaired, I would assume. I hope. Don't want them coming back. Here it is, Monday, September number 17 in the year of our Lord, 2018. The Hot Rod line is 603-499-7325. It's a beautiful morning out there. It is still not fall-like weather out there yet. What do we had? 85 was the high yesterday. A little bit of mugginess, too. It was pretty warm all weekend, actually. It was very nice. A little bit of humidity in the air yesterday. Now, today, I'm not sure exactly. I just take it day by day now. I don't pay attention. Well, I think tomorrow or Wednesday, we're supposed to possibly be getting some remnants of the hurricane that ravaged the down south. It was such a slow mover. I'm not going to get too deep into this thing, but you know, they're already blaming Trump. You know, first of all, they were blaming Trump for the hurricane itself. You know, this weekend, I was not very active on social media. In fact, I didn't even really turn on my computer a whole hell of a lot over the weekend. And there was a reason for that. I just needed a break. Because I'm telling you, it's not that I'm beside myself, but these people on the left, the problem with them is not just that they're lying. I mean, it is so bad that, look, how can I put this? It is, the ignorance is staggering. And I'm not even getting into the stupidity part yet. I'm just talking about the ignorance. The ignorance is now, it's not just Democrats, by the way. I mean, look, folks, it is so bad that I have one, you know, on certain social media outlets, I have wannabe white supremacists, and I call them wannabe white supremacists because they don't know enough to be a white supremacist. Now, honestly, I mean, there is a certain, you know, ethnic supremacists, whether they be black or white or Latino. They think that their skin color is the best. They think that their race, quote unquote, is the best. And they don't have anything to back it up. They just think they're the best, that they're superior. But when I say, when you have wannabes, is they come up with all these false facts that are so easily disprovable. I had a wannabe white supremacist try to tell me that only white countries, white majority countries, going back through history, only white majority countries were ever civilized. Oh, so the Egyptians weren't civilized, ancient Egyptians. You do realize that ancient Rome, most of Romans were not Aryan white. No, they were white. No, they weren't. Oh, and Egyptians were Arabic. And they were black because they're on the continent of Africa. Egyptians were a mix. They were Arab, they were black, and they were a mix between the two. And as a matter of fact, some of the pharaohs were mixed because you could see it in their depictions of them, their facial features. I guess the ancient Greeks didn't invent, certain kinds of advanced math, and the Egyptians didn't use advanced math at all to build the pyramids. And the Chinese did not invent black powder and pasta, according to this wannabe white supremacist. All that stuff was done by... Oh, and the Dark Ages didn't exist. Didn't happen. You know what the Dark Ages are? They should change the name of that. The European Dark Ages. Because while the Europeans were dying of the Black Death, the bubonic plague, and going through their dark ages and having and only reason they came out was a renaissance, the rest of the world didn't seem to experience that. Asia had the tallest wooden structure building ever before Europeans built more than four floors. Sure, they built tall structures out of stone, not wood. The Chinese were the first ones to do it out of wood. That's an engineering marvel. Historically speaking, we, today's people are actually, now, granted, folks, let me be clear on this. Our general population today is more ignorant than we were 100 years ago. That is the truth. Now, remember, we went to the moon in the 60s. They worked on it. They were working on getting into space and then really going to the moon for about 15 years. And, they started before John F. Kennedy became president, and he just made it an edict. We're going to the moon. And they spent, a better part of a decade doing that, figuring out how to do it. Now, all those scientists and mathematicians and whoever else was involved in that effort, they were all educated early on in the 20th century by a bunch of teachers who did not have bachelor's and master's and PhDs in education. Most of them were educated by teachers who only finished the eighth grade. But those people were educated. They could read. They could write. They could do mathematics. So much so, and then when they got to college, the college professors didn't have to go through rudimentary stuff and teach, and do rudimentary types of classwork. No, they started from the top. If you were taking calculus in college, you better know your trig and algebra and stuff beforehand. They weren't gonna help you through. But that's the way that these people were taught back in the day. They actually had real stuff. We're not getting that today. We are definitely not getting that type of education today. These kids are highly ignorant. And I hate to say it in those terms, but that's the truth. I mean, look, remember, I've told you last week that when it comes to journalism, when it comes to writing, in most cases, if you're just writing a news story, what you're supposed to do is write at an eighth grade level. because that's the majority of Americans have a comprehension and reading level of an eighth grader. That's just the facts. And it's actually getting worse, not better. And part of that is due to the way our society is now geared with, you know, texting, which always, you know, I get the grammar Nazis on Twitter. I always find that to be highly entertaining. grammar Nazis on Twitter. Yeah, well, they do. That's what they've done. But in any case, some of the stuff is just funny. But this is how you get these people today on the left. Because I find that they're more ignorant, generally speaking. Speaking in general terms now. Now, this is not every single individual. But in general terms, those on the left are more, or those who are thinking superior, in a superiority type of context, in a general sense, are more ignorant than those on the right. Now, I did not say less educated. You know, you could have a PhD and still be extremely ignorant. Just because you have a degree doesn't mean you're smart. Doesn't mean you know your stuff. Doesn't mean you know anything. You know, you can be an ignorant PhD and you can be a brilliant person who's never gone to college. So it isn't college that makes a person smart, necessarily. And it isn't lack of college that necessarily makes a person ignorant. But I find that these people on the left and those with a superiority complex are far more ignorant than the rest of us. And all you got to do is talk to them and ask them a few questions and you can figure it out for yourself. It's not very hard. They don't know anything. And my complaint with them isn't that they believe in what they believe in, a socialism or what have you. Communism, you know, it's all the same. My problem with them isn't that they believe that. My problem is they don't know anything in order to back up their belief. All they have is a bunch of, you ask them specific pointed questions and they come back and if they answer you, it's all sound bites. There's no depth at all. And if you give them facts, they don't believe you. Oh, you're lying. You made it up. No, I didn't make it up. Well, this is why I don't give out links. I learned this long ago. You know, well, you have a link for that? I've given people links to the Huffington Post. Huffington Post, folks. And you know what these ignorant people tell me? Oh, you can't trust that link. You can't trust them. Wait. No. It's the HuffPo. Every once in a while, the Huffington Post actually tells the truth and gets something completely right. It's rare, but it happens. And I give them the link to the Huffington Post, and they disparage that link. So you know what? I say, go look it up. If you go and look this stuff up yourself, you're more inclined to believe it than if somebody gives you a single link. One person, I remember this very vividly. I gave him a link. He said, oh, all you got is one link. So I proceeded to inundate him with at least 10 more links. You know what his response was? Oh, those links mean nothing. You got that off of Google. Okay, so the Huffington Post, and in that comment, said, you know what? I'm not going to give people links anymore. And 99% of the time, when they ask for a link, I say, go look it up. I don't give them a link. Because they're so damn ignorant. And the problem is that sometimes they may even realize they're ignorant, but they do not care. They don't want their belief challenged. They don't want to know the facts. when it comes to that aspect, here's something I bet you a lot of people aren't going to want to know the facts of. Now, we have this huge brouhaha with the Catholic Church, do we not? Yeah, we have, the Pope knew about this. And look, every Pope over the past century has known about the problem of priests and children. I don't know why they're coming down hard on this particular Pope, when they've all, yeah, I know, John Paul, the beloved, probably, in the last century, probably the most beloved Pope. He knew about it too. They all knew about it. They all know about it. And none of them have done anything serious about it. But now, all of a sudden, now it's a big deal. Well, we went through that whole humongous scandal in the Catholic Church back in the 90s. Remember that? And, Catholic Church is being sued. And it wasn't just the Catholics, There were a few Methodist priests that any church that has a hierarchy similar to the Catholic Church, there are Baptist denominations with bishops and that type of thing too, and they all, although to a much lesser degree, but they all had those same problems. But the big problem was within the Catholic Church, simply because of the way the Catholic Church is structured. And people at first didn't want to believe it, especially, parents, you're sending your kid up there to be an altar boy. I mean, and next thing you know, all these kids grow up to be, very disturbed men. And we find out why. And they don't like religion, they don't like Catholicism, they don't go to church. Then we find out why. Because they were violated in the house of God. And nobody did anything. And we're supposed to believe, well, this is only in Christianity. No, it's not. Did anybody see the story of a couple of weeks ago about we got a couple of Jewish rabbis now caught up in this? It's not just Christians. As a matter of fact, according to this story, Buddhist. There was also a story about two weeks ago. Buddhist. A Buddhist monk was accused of sexual impropriety, rape. And, this is at least, I hate to say this, but at least it was with a female. But, now comes a news story. Dalai Lama says, I knew of sex abuse by Buddhist teachers since 1990s. And he's talking about the whole pedophilia stuff as well as the adult stuff. He's talking about the gay stuff as well as the straight stuff. Now, I don't know about you. There are very few things that ever shock and surprise me. But I got to tell you, I was shocked and surprised about the story of this Buddhist monk. And you want to talk it? Well, now I'm not surprised, but I am shocked that the Dalai Lama knew. And as I've told you before, you look into the man's eyes and personally all I see is evil. Now, I don't know, I've never known... heard of any stories, negative stories about the Dalai Lama. I haven't looked for any. I haven't researched this man. I don't know a whole hell of a lot about him. Mostly because I'm not interested. But if he comes out and says, well, he knew. Now, he's supposed to be he's basically like the Pope. What he says and does carries a lot of weight and power. And if he knew about this back in the 90s, he could have did something about it. Rod, he's in exile. No, it doesn't matter. He's the Buddhist version of the Pope. Could have easily done something about it. And the rest of his followers who were not participating in such, you know, evil deeds would have worked to weed out those who did not belong. He said nothing. He did nothing. Folks, this is it's insidious. So when you know about something, why do you keep silent? Unless you want to perpetuate it, or unless you're involved in it yourself. Now, I am not accusing any pope or the Dalai Lama of participating in any sexual impropriety. Not at all. There's as far as I know, there hasn't been any accusation of them. No, maybe there has been. I just haven't seen it. And again, I am not saying this is limited to the Catholic Church or the Buddhist monastery. This is prevalent, far too prevalent, in many religions. And it's prevalent simply because it's easy to get away with it in the religion. Because what is the biggest part about it? You know, God is good. And those who teach the word of God, no matter who your God is, those who teach the word of God or the Buddha, they understand that you don't do stuff like this to people. It is not a good thing. And so people trust that these are the people that are holy, above reproach. You have your full, even to the point where you get agnostics and atheists will trust a priest. Just simply by seeing the collar. I mean, there's even criminals. I mean, just look at the mafia. You know, they would rarely do anything against a church father. I mean, even your most hardened, for whatever reason, there is this whole taboo about. Now, of course, obviously, we've known priests and nuns to be harmed and murdered and that kind of thing, but general sense is that they have far more, they get far more trust and respect even from criminals than even cops. And yeah, criminals are respect cops because cops can bust them and put them in jail, so they run from them or try to get away from them. But you know, oftentimes a criminal will go to their church leader if they've ever had a church leader. Or if they come across one, I mean, what do you normally, I've seen nuns in the airport. What do I, I'm not Catholic, but what do? I give more respect to the nun. No, sister, go ahead. And I'm not even Catholic. There is just this built-in response, this learned response that people of the cloth, you have this very high respect for. Now, good or bad, it's irrelevant. But when you have that kind of, when you put that kind of trust into people, does it not shake you to your core when you find out that they do something evil like this? And does it not even shake you down to your bedrock foundations when the church leaders know about this? You find out that the church leaders know about it, knew about it, and did nothing. There is very little on this planet that will shake a human being down to their bedrock more quickly and more devastatingly than to find out that your religious leaders are preaching one thing, doing another, which is nothing more than heresy. I don't care who you are. The Dalai Lama admits. Now, whatever respect I may have had for him, even though every time I see pictures of him and he's got, you know, I'm looking into his eyes, I get, you know, the shivers. Not literally. Whatever respect as a so-called holy man I had for him is now completely gone. If I'm the leader of a church and I find out that we've got a sex perversion problem, oh, I'm not keeping it within the church. Oh, no, I am doing something about it, and I will even bring it to light to the general public. And I would call for on their assistance. If you see or know, let me know. This kind of stuff will damage a church beyond repair for generations. And the Catholic Church has been severely damaged. And now I fear the Buddhist religion has been severely damaged. But yet we're still going to chase around an old accusation, not even an old accusation, an accusation that's 35 years old. By the way, this is nothing new or different. Democrats did this before. They did it with Clarence Thomas. They did it, although a little bit differently, but they still did it with Judge Borken. And that's how we got the whole point that, you know, Clarence Thomas was borked, and now Judge Kavanaugh is being borked. Because the left plays with sex, and they play with people. You combine that with power and prestige, and you're going to have nothing but problems. And you know what? Those elitists think that they're above the law. They think they're above you, and they really don't give a damn about you. That's the truth, like it or not.
I'm not Rod Eccles, and I approve this message.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide, plus what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosette Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosetteJr.com.
This holiday season, help Soldiers for Stockings improve the morale and welfare of members of our armed forces deployed overseas. Now through November 20th, there is so much work to be done, and you can help in many ways. Download the stocking pattern from stockingsforsoldiers.org and start sewing today. Volunteer to help decorate and assemble stockings. Donate Christmas candies, snacks, nuts, chips, drink mixes, DVDs, books, magazines, lip balm, toiletries, and other items needed to fill the stockings. Or help make packets of snowman soup, hot chocolate,
click to send along with the stockings. For more information, patterns, and a list of items needed, visit stockingsforsoldiers.org. This holiday season, help send our troops a touch of home. For many, it's all they will receive. All stockings need to be completed by November 20th. So get started today at stockingsforsoldiers.org. That's stockingsforsoldiers.org. Stockings for Soldiers, sending stockings filled with joy to our soldiers in harm's way for the 9th consecutive year.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-471-9742. That's 800-471-9742. Again, 800-471-9742.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
This just in, are you a part, are you utilizing your freedom to participate in what's known as the gig economy? Well, I mean, there are a lot of people that actually make a full-time living and a good full-time living, you know, as much as six figures or more, in the gig economy. They don't really own a business, and they don't work for anybody. You know, freelance writers, the gig economy has always been around. I mean, the freelance writers, for instance, you know, they've been around for years and years and years and years and years. But it used to take, you know, it still takes hard work, but it used to take a long time to build up a client base where that could be a full-time profession for most people. I'm not just talking about, you know, the novelist that writes a book and all of a sudden, you know, their books become big and now they don't have to work for anybody else, or the nonfiction writer. I remember like Ogman Dino did all kinds of jobs before, you know, his book started taking off. He became a full-time writer. Other people, they work for, you know, they worked for corporations or small businesses or whoever needed it. And they usually worked out of their home. They were just, they didn't, and they would do magazine articles. I mean, I remember back in the day, you know, there was somebody running around trying to teach people how to be a successful freelance magazine article writer. And how you could make $50,000, and this is, you know, back in '90s. You make $50,000 a year, but just writing. Okay, all of that changed with the so-called gig economy. Now you go to Fiverr and you can get all kinds of gigs for $5, right? Or, well, now it's more than $5 over on Fiverr, and it could be almost any price. But basic prices are $5, $5 or $10. But there are people who use that, utilize that as their marketing arm. You know, and they'll do something for a client or a potential client or customer for $5, $5 or $10. And the customer will like it so much that they'll go back and use them, you know, for full price stuff. Now, that's just in the writing, or maybe you are a graphic designer. Well, you know, there are a lot of freelance graphic designers. Again, these people they don't really have a business per se. But they're utilizing the so-called gigs that are a lot easier to get today because of the internet and the computer than it was before the internet and the computer. Well, it's not just that stuff, though. There are other gig opportunities that people have parlayed into a full-time income. You know, the ride-sharing, ride-hailing type of technology, Uber and Lyft. There are people who make more money than taxi drivers, which is why so many taxi companies are pissed off at Uber and Lyft. But they make tons of money off of. And I know that there are the naysayers. You don't actually get to make all that money, man. You got to spend it on your car maintenance and get. But there are still people that you know, they'll spend 60 or 70 hours a week driving and make $100,000. They're out there. They're making a full time living on a gig type of basis. And now people have learned how to use their real estate. And people have also figured out how to use real estate that they don't own to home away or Airbnb. Did you know you could do that? Yeah, you could. You don't even have to own the place. You could rent someplace as long as the lease doesn't specifically forbid you from doing that. You could rent an apartment, you know, for, I don't know, $1,200 a month. That's your expense. And you turn around and you Airbnb it and you make $2,000 a month and you pocket the $800. Difference. I mean, there are people that are doing that. I don't suggest doing that. Because you better be able to afford the rent. Now, some of these people have built up a cachet where they've rented multiple properties to do this. Now, in this particular point, you really are getting into the real business realm, and you gotta know what you're doing and be dedicated to it. And it's going to be your full. If you're going to do that, it's your full time job, but it's full time income. Well, when it comes to utilizing your own property for the gig economy. I mean, some people, they open up a bed and breakfast, and, you know, they have these big old houses, you know, especially in New England and going into the South. You know, they have these big, huge houses or properties. You know, they have 4, 5, 6, 8 bedrooms, literally. And, you know, they'll most of them have their own bathrooms, believe it or not. It's really kind of weird how that works, but yeah. Or they'll put in a bathroom for each of the rooms when they renovate. And that's how this all comes about. And then they open it up as a bed and breakfast, and people come and stay. And it's pretty much a gig. But the bed and breakfast really is a business. But people are turning their own properties. Maybe they have a rental property. It's attached to their house. Maybe they own a duplex or a triplex. And they, instead of renting it, they don't have the hassles of renters not paying them, so they go the Airbnb or the temporary housing route. And there are some people that specialize in long-term limited stays. You know, they rent it out to corporations. You know, a corporation rents an apartment or a condo for a month or 6 months, and these people know that they have guaranteed income. And they can charge more than what the local rent might be. In everywhere. I mean, you know, if you live in a town where the average rent for a, you know, two-bedroom apartment is $800, you could probably get a grand if you go the gig route. Again, nothing wrong with that. You're using your own property. Well, Los Angeles, California doesn't like that idea. No. Los Angeles, California is preparing to vote on a new set of government regulations designed to significantly crack down on gig host or Airbnb home away host, similar to regulatory passage enacted in Boston earlier this year. Notice these are in liberal Democrat run states. The proposed rules include limiting the number of nights that hosts can rent out a room or other space, limiting rentals to properties where the host actually lives, and possibly a minimum number of nights per stay. All of these are designed to make it nearly impossible to act as a host with the gig economy service. So in other words, they want to tell you, oh, out of a 30-day period, a 30-day month, you can only rent your space out, 20 days. So it's got to be off the market. And each stay has to be a minimum of two nights, no matter what. Or a minimum of three nights. Well, people don't rent hotel rooms like that. Hotels are not limited. Well, they're a hotel, Rod. It doesn't matter. Any accommodation type of service. From a hotel, motel, a little dive by, dive on the side of the road somewhere, or even a bed and breakfast. And understand, you could say, well, you can just become an official bed and breakfast. No, you can't. There are limitations. There are size requirements in many jurisdictions. And there are zoning restrictions. You just can't have, an in-law apartment in a nice residential neighborhood. You know, it's over your garage. They call it an in-law apartment or a college apartment. So, but you don't want to rent it out to somebody normally. So you say, I'm going to offer this on Airbnb. You can't turn that into a bed and breakfast. Zoning restrictions would prevent you. And now the city wants to say, well, you can't rent it out like that. You can't maximize your profit on your own property. Now, residents attended a meeting last week to express their concerns. Well, of course they'd have concerns because some people have built up a real full-time income off of the gig host economy, like Airbnb and HomeAway. And they're not the only two. So residents attended a meeting last week to express their concerns, with some of them describing how Airbnb was the only way they were able to continue living in one of the most expensive cities in the country. Rather than some group of greedy real estate cheaters, these were families who probably will have to leave the city, if not the state, if that source of income is cut off. I say goodbye. Sayonara. Arrivederci. Au revoir. What is a ciao? Just go ahead and leave. At some point, logic would dictate that at some point these jurisdictions would wise up, but I have to catch myself and remember who I'm talking about here. You would think that at some point they would wise up in Venezuela too, but no, they keep getting dumber. So will California and other liberal jurisdictions ever wise up? No, they'll just keep getting dumber. If you want to see how dumb they can go, just keep an eye on Venezuela. I'm not kidding. If you want to see how far and how dumb the socialists and liberals can get, leftists can get, just keep an eye on Venezuela. And when you think that they can't get any more dumb, they double down and get dumber. You know, I mentioned earlier in the program today how Venezuela has decided to up the minimum wage by 3,000%, thus causing 40% of their businesses to have to shutter and close down. They can't afford to pay these people that, whatever that is. So they have to close down. And those small business employees who are struggling as it is in Venezuela now don't have a job. But you would think that Venezuela would wise up and say, well, we better not do this. We better reverse course. No. They're doubling down and dumb. So is this a surprise that they would do this sort of thing in places like Boston and L.A. and possibly, you know, the New York? Any place where they have any kind of rent control type of system, or they're looking for a rent control type of system. Do you think? Because look, you know, again, if you can make more money Airbnb-ing your property, why would you risk getting a bad tenant not being paid at all versus making a near guaranteed amount of money that's above what you could get for rent, even if the tenant was a good, solid paying tenant? Again, if you could only rent out your property for $800 a month, but if you Airbnb it and you do it right, and it's not hard to do it right from what I understand, but if you do it right, you can get $1,000 a month for that $800 property. Now, who wouldn't want the extra $200? Well, sure, you've got to furnish it and you've got to provide it, you know, provide certain services and add-ons and things like that, but that's a one-time cost. And so from then on out, instead of $800 a month, you're making a grand. You know, so you go from about $9,000 a year to $12,000 a year. Who wouldn't do that? Well, if you were into that sort of thing, you would do that. Well, LA is saying, not so fast. We don't think you should be able to do it. Again, it comes into play where you own something, but government says you really don't own it. It's not really your money. It's government's money. We're just letting you keep some of it. You can't collect the rain that falls on your roof because, you know, you don't own the rain. Government owns the rain. Yeah, there are some people that don't believe when I tell them that it is illegal in some jurisdictions and states in this union, in this republic, United States of America, where it is illegal for you to catch and store rainwater. You know, I know people who swear by rainwater for taking baths and washing their hair. Their skin has never been clearer or softer. Their hair has never been more supple and shiny. But they can't do it in these places. Not legally. And if you get caught doing it illegally, there are some hefty fines, including potential jail time in some jurisdictions, for collecting rain. Because somehow you're depriving the water companies and the public of the water. I'm not kidding, folks. So is it any surprise that LA would want to crack down on people utilizing their property for profit? They didn't, and trust me, Airbnb leadership, they're big lefties. Now, how can you be a leftist and know that government entities that you support are going to try to shut your business model down? Again, it's just stupid. So there was a hearing Thursday where both sides got to speak. About 100 people showed up in L.A., and at times it got heated. Now, Chloe Printanoulis and her husband use Airbnb. For the past 7 years, they've rented out a small back house behind their Venice home. And the money, she said, is desperately needed. It's money that pulled my husband and I through, Printanoulis said. When we lost our incomes at the same time, i.e. their jobs, it helped me afford medical treatment. Now, Cooper Bates also turned to Airbnb when he changed jobs and his daughter went to college. He rented out two rooms in his home at least four nights a week. He says it changed his life. It made it absolutely possible to pay these college fees. And now LA wants to say, nope, you can't do that. Now, this has led to understandable consternation among neighbors who move into one of these buildings with the expectation that they will have, well, neighbors. People who are there for extended periods of time, if not permanently, and may turn out to be a good neighbor or even friends. Tourists coming in for a couple of days don't fit that description. So I guess your neighbor wanting a real neighbor trumps your ability to utilize your own property. So again, it's the collective that gets to decide what you do with what you buy. Now, some people may say, well, there's nothing wrong with that, Ron. I say, really? Would you like it if you went out and spent $5,000 for that 80-inch screen TV and then your neighbor decides when you get to turn on that TV? Well, there's not a single American in the country that I can think of that would say, yeah, that'd be fine. No, it would not. You would be saying, no, I bought it. I paid for it. It's in my house. I want to watch it any damn well time I want. Nope, you can't watch it until your neighbor says it's okay. Well, this is the same thing with your property. I don't care if you live in a condo building or a high-rise apartment building. It doesn't matter. I want real neighbors because we can potentially be friends with our neighbors. But we can't be friends with people who are transient, who just come, you know, for a couple of days or a week or so, and then they're gone. We can't be friends with them. So we're going to tell you that you can't Airbnb your apartment because we want a real neighbor. Somehow that's okay, but it's not okay for your neighbor to be able to tell you when you can turn on your brand new television that you just spent $5,000 for. But you can spend $500,000 on the apartment and having your neighbor be able to tell you what you can do with that apartment, that's okay. Folks, again, you don't own most of the stuff that you buy. That, at least in the eyes of a leftist, they want to be able to tell you how to live your life, how they want you to live your life. Even if they don't live their life that way, they still want to be able to tell you, well, you can do this, but you can't do that. Even if they don't follow their own rules. Congress, anybody? Washington, D.C., anybody? How many times do they make laws that exempt themselves from those laws, but we have to live under those laws? Again, you don't own, you know, the money that you slave over, you know, you spend 40, 50, 60, 80 hours a week working to earn. You didn't really earn it. It's not yours. You didn't earn that. You didn't build that. Somebody else did that. Remember those words? It's all this collective mentality. What's mine is mine and what's yours is mine. But only the collective is government at all levels. See, now Los Angeles thinks that they own all the property in Los Angeles. Now, I understand having certain edicts, if you will, for public safety, but they go way beyond that. I understand having certain regulation. I'm not saying that we should diversify ourselves from all regulation. There are certain regulations that are truly for the public good. You know, uniform design and construction, so on and so forth. But then they go beyond that. They want to tell you if you can collect rain off your roof or not. They want to tell you the days that even when there's no drought when you can water your grass. They want to tell you if you can or cannot grow vegetables on in your front yard or your backyard. Now they want to tell you how you can rent to somebody, your own property to somebody else. And now they're saying you have to not only own it, but you have to live there. Well, what if it's an apartment? How are you going to rent out an apartment if you're living there? Do you have to own the entire apartment building? Do you have to own the entire condo complex? I mean, and what about the people who've been who found somebody created something, Airbnb, for instance, that allowed somebody to utilize the stuff that they own in order to make a living or to help make ends meet? Now the city wants to take that away from you or the state. What about the people who are utilizing, I don't know, you know, some of these so-called, well, they call them backyard farmers. They, you know, maybe they have a half acre or an acre of land that they have, and they grow they grow vegetables, and they do it organically, and they use the rainwater to help water those crops, and then they turn around and they sell those crops at farm stands, and it helps them make their ends meet every year. And all of a sudden, the city comes in or the state comes in and says, "You can't use rainwater anymore. You cannot collect it, and it has to come down from the sky, but otherwise you're going to have to use city water and pay a huge water bill." Now all of a sudden you can't make ends meet. Happens a lot.
You're listening to The Rod Eccles Show. Let truth be told.
It's Thursday night, and you grab...